across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Now, here I was thinking that we should be talking about the common herb chicory or Cichorium intubus, but no, Corinne had other ideas. Instead, this segment turned into three different types of chicory, including the famous red ball radicchio, its precursor Rosso de Treviso, and Whitloof, which is sometimes confusingly called endive. In Australia, endive is more like a lettuce type. Anyway, let's find out more. It's time for the kitchen garden segment on Real World Gardener. On the line, I've got Corinne Masati, who's the founder of the Gourmantic Garden website. Welcome to the show, Corinne. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Great to be back, Marianne.
And today we're talking about chicory. And I've discovered that there's more than one type of chicory. So, Corinne, let's get started with telling everyone what three types there are.
Well, there are quite a few types, actually. I'll just share with you some of my favourites. You've probably seen them in the shops, like the Radicchio Treviso, which is a type that's got elongated leaves, and it usually grows as white and green, and then it turns red when it's mature. It's very popular with in Italian dishes, and it's a pretty one to grow. And you get other types that form a really tight red head, which are really beautiful to grow in the garden and adds a fair bit of colour during winter. Another type of my favourite chicory is called the Italico Rosso, or the red dandelion. It's got those long serrated leaves. It doesn't form a head. It's got red stems, green leaves, and it actually takes only about 40 days until it's mature. And it's actually one of those herbs that is easy to grow because you can eat it as the baby leaves develop before that bitterness sets in. You can cut it right back and it springs up again. You can use it in salads, in soups, in stews. It's quite a versatile plant to grow, and it's just very easy that you can grow it and forget about it.
I was going to say, getting back to the one with the head, I just recall that when I used to work for a seed company, a lot of people would say that they could never get their radicchio to form a head. I guess they're talking about that one with the that you should really grow in winter or in the cooler months of the year. What's the trick with that one, though? Do they need to have firm soil? What are they doing wrong?
Well, I grow mine in containers because I'm limited to space where I am. But I make sure that I've got like rich soil that's full of compost before I start growing it. And I find a lot with the chicory types is they prefer to be sown direct. Although I have actually raised seedlings and transplanted them very early on in the piece before they have a chance to develop that, you know, that deep root. But aside from that, when they start to form, they do really like full sun. And with that, they actually start to form that colour, that head and the colour. And a trick sometimes is to actually just gently grab that head as it starts to form and just basically hold it together with something. I use budding tape around it very gently because you don't really want it to, you know. But I've heard some people can use like a stocking, but that's, for me, that's smothering it a little bit. And then you get those beautiful heads forming.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that. That's a really good tip. All right, so let's get back to the other ones. Which of the three that you mentioned is your favourite to grow?
Well, the third one that I haven't mentioned yet is the Whitloof, which is that one which is, you see it in the shops, and it's white and it's got a yellow heart. And that's a very interesting one to grow because you can grow it for the leaves, you can grow it for the heart, and you can grow it for the root. And you can do all three at once. So basically, just as normal, you would, you know, preferably that one, sow it direct where you can, where it's going to be, let it grow. You can use it when the leaf starts to reach a decent size, baby leaves if you want less bitterness, or you can just leave it as is, harvest the outer leaves and use it as a cut and come again vegetable. You want to use it in stir fries or in salads. It is fairly bitter. It's up to you whether you like that flavour or not. Once that plant has matured, What you can do then is grow it for the heart. And in order to do that, you need to force the plant. And what that means is growing it under total darkness. So you, what you do is you cut off the plant and you leave about 2 centimeters above the soil. Then if you're growing it in a raised bed or in the ground, you need to dig it up and put it into a deep pot with good soil. And when you put it in the top, also leave that gap above the soil. Don't just dig it all the way in. Then take the container and put it in a dark, cool spot, somewhere between 10 to 15 degrees. And you need to cover it with something like a bucket that doesn't allow any light through. So if you're thinking of using a pot and it's got holes down the bottom, that won't do, because you need total darkness. This way the leaves don't photosynthesize, they will be white, it will keep it moist, and then you'll eventually end up with those beautiful pale hearts, which then after a while you can take the bucket off, you can just slice it off at the top and use them. So now we've grown it for the leaves, and we've also grown it for the heart. The third part is growing it for the roots. So after we've harvested those tops, what you do is you can just gently dig up the roots, give them a really good clean, then dehydrate them, blitz them, and then roast them. Now, when you're roasting them, you really need to be super careful because they can easily burn. I could be talking from experience here, maybe not, but you really need to be very careful when you do it. And then you end up with this fine roasted powder, and then you can use it as a coffee substitute. And it is as simple as basically just, you know, pouring it into a mug of coffee and enjoying it. Now, it is a taste that you may or may not like, but it's really worth trying. It's a lot of fun if you've got the space and the time to do something like that. And it's got a bit of a unique flavor. It is similar to coffee, but not quite, not quite that coffee. And you can play around with the different roasting times if you want sort of like a lighter, you know, roast or a darker roast and so on. So it is a very versatile plant to grow and a way that you can use it three ways.
That's amazing. Now, you mentioned that you had to dehydrate it, then blitz it, and then cook it in the oven.
And then roast it, yes.
Oh, then roast it. Yeah. When you say dehydrate, how do you do that?
Dehydrator.
Oh, so you have to have one of those.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, okay. So yeah. You can't just put it straight in the oven.
I haven't tried that method. It may work if you put it on a really low setting. You might want to chop it up to do that first up, which is what I did when I put it in the dehydrator. But I can't talk from experience here. Just give it a go. But just be careful with that oven temperature, because you just don't want to make it go black.
No, you don't. I suspect that it's very similar to a coffee substitute called Caro.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, okay. I think that's made from dandelion roots or roasted dandelion roots that you can get in the supermarket. I tend to drink that in the evening so that I don't have any caffeine hit. So, yeah, okay. Well, that's a really interesting summary of what you can do with that chicory plant and the 3 chicory plants that you should grow. So, yeah, sow them all direct. I guess this is the good time of year to be doing that.
Yes, it does favour the cooler months. So if you, it depends where you are, it might be a little bit too late to do so, but I'm actually starting another lot at the moment because the first one that I had didn't germinate. So just give it a go. It's a fun plant to play around with.
Wow. Once again, Corinne, it's been lovely chatting with you on Real World Gardener.
Thank you for having me.
Real World Gardener, bringing you informative topics about gardening and the environment. Marianne Cannon.
And that was Corinne Masati, founder of the Gourmantic Garden website. Now, to grow this famous radicchio in subtropical areas, you can sow the seeds until June. In temperate areas, you have to wait until September, but then it's through to April. Or you can do it in trays from August onwards, and similarly for cool zones, but finishing in March. And in arid areas, March until July. Radicchio's unlikely to grow well in tropical areas. If you have any feedback, email realworldgardener@gmail.com or write in to 2RRR PO Box 644, Gladesville, New South Wales 1675.